Physical therapy, also known as physiotherapy. Those of us who struggle with long-term physical disorders, we call it PT. Or hell. When I was a little girl, still recovering from the polio virus that paralyzed my body and eventually just my right leg, I remember my mom saying, "Get up, get dressed. We are going to physio." Physio. How I hated it. It meant pain and stress and failure. I was lucky. I had a mother who would not let me quit. And so eventually, I was able to walk with a limp, without crutches, for about 50 years. I only began using crutches when I got older, and it was just to take the strain off my knee. Some people are not as lucky as I.
This is Gloria Moraga's One-on-One, a show designed to improve face-to-face communication in the digital age.
My one-on-one guest this week is Dr. Torin McLeod. He's a physical therapist, he's a PhD, and he is an associate professor in the Department of Physical Therapy at Sac State. That's where I met him. His area of expertise is physical therapy for people with limb loss. The phrases he uses are limb difference or limb loss. Here are some statistics and background, and I will include the source and more information on my website, and the links will be in the description. Here we go. Quote, "There are more than 1 million annual limb amputations globally. That means an amputation occurs every 30 seconds somewhere in the world. Limb loss is more common than many people realize, and the causes, accidents, war, diseases, particularly diabetes." The next set of numbers are U.S. statistics. 2.1 million people live with limb loss in the United States, and that number could double by 2050. 180,000 people have an amputation each year. That's 300 to 500 amputations every day. 1,558 military personnel lost a limb as a result of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, these statistics from the Access Prosthetics are from 2017, and I'm wary about the next number. They say around 30% of people with limb loss experience depression and anxiety. Okay, really? I'm sure that number is low. African Americans are 4 times more likely to have an amputation than white Americans. More than half of the people with diabetes who have a lower leg amputated will lose their second leg within 2 to 3 years. Nearly half of the individuals who have an amputation due to vascular disease will die within 5 years. Professor McLeod and his advanced physical therapy students are conducting free virtual clinics. These one-on-one telehealth clinics not only help students connect and learn, but they also help people with limb difference or limb loss in a number of ways.
So my name is Dr. Torin McLeod, and I'm a physical therapist in the Department of Physical Therapy at Sac State. Been there 6 years now. I'm working in a clinic for folks with limb loss and difference, both upper and lower extremity. Really, this clinic has been a community clinic for folks of the Sacramento region, even though folks still choose to drive several hours to make it to clinic each year. So it is a wide, wide area that we serve in the local community. But this year, due to the pandemic and our ability to use telehealth, I'd like to make this clinic more widely available to an even broader community. I can imagine serving anyone on the planet through telehealth. If you can make it to one of our sessions, we'll be able to serve you and communicate with you. So I just want to meet with folks a little bit beforehand to make sure we can iron out any technical difficulties or any questions that may come up. But what this would provide is both a student learning opportunity for essentially graduated, they're fully cooked, almost done physical therapy students going into their final rotations. These are very refined students, and they have already served the community for 12 weeks. They're coming back now to learn this specialty area of service. And in my experience, about half the students have already seen someone and have experience with an individual with limb difference. So really, at this point, my hope is to refine those skills and to have the students meet as many different people as possible to learn from those individuals and those sort of magical jewel experience, those things that only an individual with limb difference can share, and each individual has their own experience. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for all these students to get as many different experiences as possible.
Can you describe what people with, is it limb difference or is it limb loss? Can you describe what somebody goes through, why they need physical therapy? Tell me what you address in the clinics.
That's a fantastic question. And so often the first question folks ask is, gosh, are you going to make me stand up and watch me move or something in this telehealth clinic? Well, yeah, it's physical therapy. And really what physical therapy does is we try to improve the way you move. So if you're struggling with getting up out of the chair as well as you used to, using your prosthesis, just knowing how to put it on correctly or take it off and be able to remember how to put it back on. If you're struggling with walking, so frequently do folks, their first thing and priority is, gosh, I want to walk like everybody else does, or at least like I used to. And, you know, that's something to work on for sure. But there are so many other things that physical therapists can help with as well, with that transition between different surfaces or preventing falls, getting back to work, increasing your participation in church or your community or through a job. Those are all things that physical therapy work with. Several years ago, I wrote a perspective. I was asked to write a paper for the OMP Edge, which is Orthotics and Prosthetics Journal. They asked me to write why I got interested in this area. I just can't imagine losing a limb. I played soccer and was really active growing up. And the idea of losing a limb is something that I think, because I'm so into my body and I'm so into helping others with theirs, the idea of not having even a thumb or a little finger or a foot is a dramatic change in your ability to participate or have normal activities. Once you're at the transtibial or below knee amputation level, you don't have one foot to stand on. It's going to make it very, very difficult to get to the bathroom or the kitchen, let alone back to work. And so physical therapy is integral in improving that movement process with or without the prosthesis. This isn't necessarily just suited for those individuals that have a prosthetic. Just because you weren't deemed to have the necessity or be able to fully use a prosthesis, that doesn't mean you don't need physical therapy. It doesn't mean you do. It just means that physical therapy could be there as a crutch that to help you with all those things that those skills and just societal things that you want to continue doing. You mentioned your grandkids, Gloria. And so frequently do folks talk about wanting to, I'd say the top five are walking down the aisle, right? Playing with kids or grandkids, getting back to work. Right? These are things that we want to do with our family. And having an amputation, in my experience, or having limb difference doesn't mean anything about your ability to participate. You just might need some help and support. And I have some experience and 32 students who are really wanting to help.
It is quality of life. You don't realize all the little things that you can't do until you can't do them. I know you, when I was watching you at one of these clinics before, and your students, you not only address being able to stand up out of a chair, which can be daunting when you've lost a limb.
Oh, yeah. What if I fall over? that's not good. Yeah.
The fear of falling, and everything becomes a fear. You know, you're afraid of this, you're afraid of that, and it does change your life. Now, will you have psychologists standing by? I think you did before. It was a full clinic.
In previous clinics, yeah, I had interprofessional clinics. And yes. So for the local community, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we were talking about maybe healthcare design. And my experience is that folks don't want to go to five different medical facilities to get their care. That takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. I know many people who it's essentially a part-time job. 20 hours a week is what their healthcare requires. And that's a lot. So the clinic that I'd like to develop from the past, and the one that I still hold that I want to carry with me into the future, is interprofessional, and I'd like to make it like every 6 months so that I can continue to bring folks back and ultimately keep that as many people participating in the community as long as possible. Because so often, once you've had an amputation, you kind of fall off the radar, and unfortunately, the mortality rate is very, very high. So clinic going forward this year is what I'm excited to really empower the physical therapy students with, a lot of those tools and measures that would allow them to support individuals with limb loss, in particular with psychological and mental health difficulties, but also nutritional difficulties and medication. So these students have had pharmacology, they've had mental health, and they have had these courses, and will be able to refer or speak to the individual's other providers to try to coordinate care. That's a really important component of this course, is because care for individuals with amputations is so interprofessional. How can a physical therapist work without a prosthetist? For the majority of individuals that are using prostheses, a physical therapist has to work together. That's a tag team. But you're like, all right, I'm going to make it a little bit this way, you make it a little bit that way, and then they work back and forth. But of course, how can you work with an individual that has maybe a comorbidity? And so frequently do folks with limb loss also have diabetes or peripheral vascular disease or etc. We need to work together. And so frequently when I'm working with somebody with a limb difference, I'm on the phone and I'm talking to the nurse, their physician, their prosthetist, all of these individuals together to really optimize the care and minimize the tax and burden on the individual seeking care, because they're really part of the team. Unless it's working for all team members, it's really not going to be a successful combination.
Talk to the problem of someone who loses a limb and the morbidity rate is high. Is this because they aren't getting physical therapy or they aren't seeing other doctors? I mean, why is that so?
That's a really complicated and probably very sad question to answer. And I've tried to, you know, try to keep it more upbeat. A lot of different reasons, right? I mean, wouldn't it have to be? I think the medical system is a big problem for serving individuals that have limb loss. So often the charting is that it's a medical failure in the chart. I just think that words are really important, as I'm sure you do. And how we think of a procedure as a loss, as a failure, doesn't carry good things forward. That the surgery is somehow like a Hail Mary to keep somebody alive for just a short period of time, I think is a disservice for so many individuals who are ready to thrive and want to make a limb difference their participation motivator. I guess often you hear from individuals, oh, I had a heart attack and my life has changed. I am going on the high road now, and I've been exercising. It's been 15 years. And I hear that a lot. Now, you don't hear that so much with limb difference, and I don't know why, but there is a large proportion of individuals that have traumatic amputations. And for these individuals, I believe that we are really doing a disservice, because they, by no fault of their own, most often had to undergo an amputation and are ready to get back onto their life afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's a traumatic accident. Let's get back to day to day. And unfortunately, so because of that sort of stream of care, if you know what I mean, like a stream of care for an individual with a prosthetic use, mm-hmm. they're just lumped together with some folks who don't want to continue to thrive. And I think that a lot of that just has to do with motivation. Like, I don't think it has to do with lack of physical therapy altogether. I think physical therapy is a big motivator and it would be a big help to a lot of folks, but I don't think that's the whole reason.
Well, thank you for answering that, because I think it's important that we teach everybody how to communicate a little bit better, and that doctors aren't God and physical therapists aren't, and there are good ones and bad ones. And you're trying to train good ones.
There are, you know, like good people and bad people and good doctors and bad doctors, et cetera, especially now with the mental health crises that we're having due to pandemic and quarantine and everything, just being nice to each other, just trying a little bit harder goes a long way. That conscientiousness is super important.
It's huge. So. It's huge.
Yes, we all need to be kinder to one another. In the U.S., we need to say this over and over again, like a mantra. Be kind, be kind, be kind. We have a president who is spewing hate right now. Professor Torin McLeod and I then talked about the pandemic and how it's changing the way professors teach and communicate with students, how technology is making it easy to stay in touch, and to teach students and help patients. But it's also making it more complicated. The technology is an additional layer of work, time away from the students and teaching.
I worry now about processing, is that I spent, so in a lot of meetings that where I, you know, I'm not in charge and they probably won't even call on me. I'm processing videos right now. As I'm uploading to YouTube, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of 20, 30 minute videos. And so I'm trying to get the first 2-3 weeks of the semester going. And there's, you know, I feel comfortable, you know, using a green screen and removing that stuff and processing my videos. But I would imagine there are other faculty that don't.
No.
And
they don't want to.
No, well, not only that, I don't know that I want to. I think it's interesting. I love the blackboard and chalk too. That takes a lot less prep. So the amount of work has really changed and grown in a lot of ways.
Here's the issue though. You shouldn't be doing it. That was what I always said, of course. And when you get that attitude, Gloria, no one's going to listen to you. But that's not your job. Your job is to teach. Your job is to work with the students. Your job is to share your expertise with the students and the community. That's your job. That would be my job. And that's what's wrong. And, you know, they're always going to fail if they don't start getting some help in digital land.
Yeah.
And I just look at it and I'm sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
Because that's not, I mean, you're great. And you're doing it, but I think of all the faculty, and see, you're kind of technically savvy.
This book right here, this is a clinical anatomy book for radiology.
Uh-huh.
I read this book to students this summer.
Wow. Wow. On video?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I read the text and outlined the markers. So I would say, this is the structure I'm talking about right now. It's a radiology text. So like they needed to be able to see the structures. So I was like, this is what I'm talking about. But I was using the iPad and the pen.
So wow.
It looks awesome. But I mean,
are we going to put that up someplace? We notice how I weaseled my way in.
Check this out though. They would never read that book, and then all the videos got watched. And this was supplementary. This was anatomy. I said, this class is not about anatomy. It's about radiology, but I it's certainly a place to review your anatomy. Here's like, I think it was like 18 hours or something of video. You can watch this in, you know, 20, 30 minute chunks. And they all
watch it. I want to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because, you know, as a physical therapist, you really do need to know what that bone looks like in an X-ray.
The physical therapist's knowledge of anatomy is really second to none. We know anatomy better than most surgeons. And if you happen to be a sports fellowship trained orthopedic surgeon, you might know the region of the body that you work on better than a physical therapist.
Uh-huh.
But that's about it. We know anatomy.
You know everything. You know the whole body. Yeah.
The musculoskeletal system is our expertise.
Wow.
So I just found that I've been really including gamification in my teaching, I use large test databases where if there's a 10 question test or, you know, the practice study sheet, and each question has 10 or 20 questions deep. Well, they could repeat that test bank as many times as they want. They'd probably never see the same question because each question has 10 or 20 questions behind it. Wow. But what I noticed was that I'd offer these for free as well. It's worth 1% of your total grade, and students will take that 25 times.
Wow.
I have them more than one a week. I'll have two problem worksheets a week, and students will just take them over and over and over again.
Wow. Oh my God. This is just so amazing. Yeah. And so this is what they want. This is how they learn. And this is what's
universal design.
Yeah.
It's bringing people, but really, I mean, back to the clinic, it really needs to be super, super applied. Is without the application and learning both, you know, learning our community, learning other people's individual needs. And, you know, in this case, it's a specialized need of folks with amputations or limb difference. But you know, we all have particular needs, and we all need to meet new people. Now I've got this extra cushy crutch tip to look into. And, you know, there's always things to learn little jewels to take with us. So I'm just trying to spread some love.
It all comes back to one-on-one communications.
That's right.
It really does. It comes back to human beings, connecting with human beings. And I mean, now we have to do it on camera. I mean, yeah, I would much rather have been there in person, but this is how we were going to do it. And it's fine. And thank you so much, Professor.
Before we said goodbye, the professor offered some additional information on the clinics that are happening in September and October.
The clinics are 30 to 60 minutes long, mostly be an hour in length, and the students will be using a standard evaluation to ask questions about the individuals and their interests and needs. Once you have the dates and you see the sign up, it should be pretty clear.
I've produced a number of videos on this topic. Please take a look at them. They're on YouTube. I'm Gloria Moraga. One-on-one. Please subscribe, download, and share. And if you know anyone who might benefit from the PT virtual clinics, share the podcast, share the links, share the videos, share this information. Final personal note. I'm haunted by the fact that amputees don't get the care and the physical therapy and other forms of care required to get better and live longer. Losing a limb is looked upon only as a loss, and yes, it is, but it can also be the beginning of a different kind of life, just like a heart attack or any other physical illness. But it requires a change of habits and a change in your way of life. It's difficult, but it's possible. Love to all of you who are listening. Be safe. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.